Are too many parents believing coaches and trusting what they say? I think it's a problem within youth sports. And unfortunately, a lot of parents do not question what the coaches are saying. Or even worse, parents are living vicariously through their young athletes' lives. Welcome to Truth on Tilt. Hey, everybody, and welcome. It's Dr. G, retired veterinarian, ex-Division I athlete. I'm here with a close personal friend of mine who loves to wrestle.
Indeed.
His name is John Whitting. John, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great, dude. I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here and talk about a topic I'm very passionate about. I love coaching. I love playing sports. I love youth sports, so yeah, seems like a good conversation to be in right now.
John, you and I, we've known each other for a while, and you and I always have the same conversations. And there's so many different ways we can look at youth sports, right? We're lucky we're in Southern California. Youth sports are like a national pastime down out here, kind of like football in Texas.
Right.
But I think there's a huge problem going on. I've had a daughter who was a Division I soccer player. I had another daughter who was a gymnast, gave it up to do cheer, did cheer in college. And then I have a younger daughter that, God willing, is going to be recruited to play water polo in college. The problem is I think a lot of parents drink the Kool-Aid.
Right.
Would you agree to that?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's just your parental instinct to kind of wish the best for your kid and, like, raise that bar there and help them try to get there. But on the opposite of that, I think you want to ignore the worst case scenario too. You know, you hope for the best and try to ignore the worst. And I've had some experiences where I fell into that. So I don't know. I mean, I think that's your parents' job though. Like you have to be the confidence for your kids until they can find there. You gotta give that bird faith that it can fly out of that nest before it really thinks it can fly on its own. So I don't know. I just think you're their source of confidence until they can be their own source is what it feels like.
Well, yeah. I mean, the problem is that I've always tried to give my kids confidence.
Yeah.
But then I've also had other people say I'm pushing my kids way too hard. Like, why are you pushing your kids so hard? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Well, at the same time, those are usually the same parents that are pushing their kids to get a 4.4 or 4.5 in GPA or take 16 AP classes, you know, so they can go in at the freshman year as a junior into undergrad.
Right.
I see absolutely zero problem pushing my child's.
Yeah. I don't know. As you say that, there's a big problem. I think a lot of parents live their second childhood through their own children. I think, and again, I'm not a doctor, but it feels that way to me that it's like, hey, I didn't quite accomplish some of my goals I wanted back in the past, but I can help you, and you're a reflection of me, so that'll make me look. I think it's hard for parents to separate themselves from their children's accomplishments. Their accomplishments kind of sometimes become our accomplishments. Like, I'm doing a great – it confirms, I think, for some parents, I'm doing – and probably myself as well. Like, I feel like I'm doing the right thing based on what the outcomes of your journey, you know. And I think as I've gotten older, I've been able to separate my journey from their journey. But I think that's a hard thing to do. I think that was the biggest – one of the big aha moments as a parent for me was realizing you're a – human on your own journey. You're my daughter, you're my son, but whoa, you're your own person. When I look at myself to my connection to my parents now, they're not dictating every move I make. You know, I'm on my own now.
Were they?
I felt like, especially my father, I think my mom, it was kind of unconditional no matter what the outcome that I was going to get that love from her. But I felt like I was, in a way, my dad was a powerlifter back in the day. And he's California Hall of Fame powerlifter, one of the old school powerlifters from back in the day. So I think, and it's probably normal for a child to like look at your father, especially as a son, like that's my bar. I'm trying to at least get to that level or exceed that level. And I guess, subconsciously, probably yes. Like he was this macho, manly figure that all young boys aspire to be. But then I went into wrestling. in which was a sport he wasn't attached to, so I could kind of detach myself, like measure myself to him based on that, because it was my own little thing and it became my own little challenge. But yeah, certainly, I think parents, the biggest thing, especially, I hate to say unaccomplished parents, because that's, if, in sports, who cares? How long does your sports career last, really?
Unless you're 0.5% do it professionally.
But exactly. Like, majority of us don't. And it's like, I always tell people, you're going to go further with your brain than your body. And but I feel like, especially at youth level, we're teaching them body, body, body. Let's see how far you can go physically. When the reality is, there's a small percentage are actually going to go the distance and make real money or a real, you know, lifestyle out of it. But I don't know. I just think parents need to be able to separate themselves from their kids' accomplishments and, you know, their passion for it. Like, I hate seeing parents that are more into the sport than my own kids. I told my kids early on, I'm looking for the sport I need to drag you away from, not the sport I have to drag you to. But I exposed them to them all. I was smart enough to go, I want to see what you gravitate towards. But once we found my son basketball, my daughter water polo, it was like, okay. And those are, and sports these days, I think, are year-round sports too, that you kind of, to compete, you kind of have to be invested in it year-round to get on that starting rotation. But yeah, I think that was big, was just helping them to identify what are you going to pour your energy and your passion into, and then I can get behind that. But it's like, I think too many parents are forced, I played baseball, so you're going to play baseball. I played this, you're going to play this. You know, it's like, take a time out and see what your kid's actually interested in, and then go from there. But it's like, man, it's pushing a rock uphill. If you're taking to them a sport they don't want to go to, you're just, that's more work for you than it should be.
Yeah, I mean, there's two things. Number one, I think it's our parental instinct to make sure your kids had everything you had and more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when you say, you know, I this is the mark I was at and I didn't quite achieve everything.
Yeah.
You want your kid to achieve everything. You want your child to, you never want your child to see failure, no. Even though failure helps with growth.
No.
You never want to see your child suffer.
Right.
Right? That's the worst thing. You and I,
totally.
That's where we bond. Like, when we see any kid suffering, it destroys us.
Right.
And, you know, and the third thing is, you want to see your kid just succeed. Not just, you and I believe that sports help your child for adulting.
For sure, yeah. Building right? blocks, yeah. Just, yeah.
I mean, you want a team player, right? If you own a company, would you want to get someone who is an individual person who did nothing but study? Or do you want someone who knows how to be part of a team and how to make a team successful?
Yeah. I mean, again, it depends. I mean, it's like I said, I wrestle. That's kind of an individual sport. You know, golf, individual sport. But most sports are team things. So, I think every sport leaves you with some kind of skill that you don't even realize you're developing. But like being able to collaborate and work and find your role in a space, I think is huge for sports. And I think more people need to realize that. Like, the sports is a much bigger thing than just this physical act we're doing. I'm getting lost in thoughts on this. I'm so passionate about this. But I don't know. I feel, to your point about parents, like I've got this far, so I want to make sure you get this far. It's, you do want to be kind of, I always tell my son, I'm kind of, I don't know how many kids even know what Cliff Notes are these days, but like, I think of myself as Cliff Notes. Like, I've walked this walk before. Like, I want to ease as much pain for my children as I can by showing them the shortcuts, or like, hey, if you eat right, this is going to make this easier for you. If you go to bed right and get some proper sleep, this is going to have benefits. And then that, so it's like,
but does it kill you when you get the, shut up, dad, you don't know what you're talking about?
I can't even tell you. I have this idea of starting this thing called Dad's Dad. And it's basically, I could hire you to tell my son the exact same thing I want to tell him. But I mean, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I'll tell something to a kid, and moments after the kid passes, and their kid's totally attentive, listens to me, thank you, I'm so grateful for the knowledge I pass on, they walk away. I've had parents go, I said the same damn thing to my kid, they never listened to it.
Well,
dude,
it goes to the old adage, you know, how many times did your kids go to a sleepover when they were younger, and they bring your kid back? your daughter is so wonderful. She did the dishes and she helped me clean the table.
And you're like, you want to keep this
You're
kid?
Like, this fucking kid?
I'll trade you.
It happens all the time. That's part of parenting.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's part of the, you know, it is the most rewarding thing and the hardest thing you can ever do in your life. And no matter what, you're going to screw it up somehow.
Yeah. Well, and you're going to, it depends, man. I don't know. I like to think, I think my kids have a pretty solid relationship with them, but I've been honest with them too. I've been pretty transparent. I think I speak more openly with my children than a lot of parents do. I'm also younger too, I think, than a lot of my friends have, or slightly older parents. My children's friends have some slightly older parents. So it's like, I don't know. I don't know if there's an age difference there or just my approach. I had an older father growing up. My dad's 91 now. He had a family before us. And I'm the last of his children. So I kind of feel like my dad, I don't want to say phoned it in, but
generational.
It's generational. But the more kids you have, too, you kind of have like spend less worry and less stress on the last of it. So I don't know what it was, but I definitely can tell you 100%. I did not have the connection that I have with the open connection with my children that my father and his generational too for sure.
100%. My dad was 50 years old when he had me. I was an only child.
Yeah.
He was born in 1923 in Istanbul, Turkey, as a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he lived through the Great Depression. He lived through the Holocaust. I will never relate to that. There's no way in the world I could relate to that.
No.
I couldn't relate to how in urban communities. Doesn't mean I don't want to learn and have empathy for it, but I could never understand it.
Right.
Unless you go through it, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
And my argument always to my kids is like, I've done it. So it's time for you to prove to me that you can do it. Because my most precious resource in my life is time.
Right.
And if you're going to waste my time by not giving 100% when you're out there, tell me not to come.
Yeah.
Is that a wrong thing to say?
I don't know. I mean, again, it goes back to, I think, are your kids' accomplishments their accomplishments or your accomplishments? Are you measuring your worth based on what your kids are capable of doing or what you're capable of doing? Like,
Don't waste my time.
And trust me, I've said those exact words. I said, don't waste your time and don't waste my time. We are, the way you're playing, I've had these exact conversations. I said, the way you're playing, you're not only wasting, but you've seen the effort they've put into it. Like, that's why I've tried to tell my kids. Every practice is a rehearsal for the play that's coming up, right? I mean, imagine being an actor. You rehearse the shit out of your lines, which is what our kids do in practice. Day comes, day of the show, and they just forget their lines.
They shit the bed.
And you're like, what the hell? What has all this been for? You know? And it's like, but I don't think they look at it like that. I don't think they're able to go, oh, I'm an actor in this. And this whole time is perfecting them for the moment. So, I mean, there's so much, dude. There's so many wrong things to say, apparently, and the wrong things. I think you gotta approach each kid differently too. I approach my daughter differently than I approach my son. I know what they can handle. I know what'll get through to them. So, and this comes back to even a bigger discussion about coaching. And I have this theory that good coaches can coach a team. Great coaches can coach individuals. And I think same with parents. Parents, you're gonna say a good coach. Tell both your kids, I love y'all. I'm here for you. I'm in the stands cheering on both of you. But an individual parent's gonna drive home with one kid and have a different conversation than the other kid because they know that hey, they're gonna react differently based on what we say. So, knowing your audience, knowing what motivates them. I mean, there's just it's work, dude. Coaching is work. Parenting is work. Like, there isn't one style guide or one guidebook for each child. Like, you gotta take what you've been given, what you created.
Right.
You know, it's like fucking growing plants, dude. Like, you water one plant one way than the other way. You give one plant more sunshine than the other, dude. Like, that's the approach. But if you're willing to spend the time to identify what makes this one different than this one, that's when you can start digging deeper.
And speaking about identity, the problem that I always feel is even starting at the age of 5 or 6 with AYSO soccer, too many parents tie their identity to their children's success
100%
on the field.
Yeah, 100%. And it's wrong. But it took me a while to get there too.
Guilty.
It sounds like even guilty. More so for you. But I think you, again, It helps them realize my accomplishments. I placed in California State Wrestling. I went to junior college, became an academic All-American, realized wrestling was only going to take me so far, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to focus more on my studies, made the right decision at the right time. USC wasn't around yet, so I was like, there was really no path beyond. So, but honestly, my biggest goal was I wanted a place in state, and I did, and I set a goal, and that's something I see less of these days too. Are kids focusing on goals? What's your goal? What do you want to try and accomplish out of this? What's your end goal? Our daughters play water polo, which is much like wrestling. Unless you go to the Olympics, like, where's the future in that? It can get you into some really good schools, which I think most kids would be smart to realize that and go, I'm gonna
milk it for all its worth.
All this effort, all this hard work, better
now.
Better get me
now they even have NIL.
And but how much NIL is there in water polo? You know, like,
well, there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of money as long as these kids build a brand.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different podcast we have here.
For sure.
We actually have an NIL Fluencer podcast that's all about building your brand. Yeah. There is a ton of money. There is money to be had, and that's another thing. Is like, I'm telling my daughter, okay, you know, we're going to use this water polo thing to get into a school that chances are you couldn't get into.
Yep.
Let that be any school in California. Let that be Brown. Let that be Michigan.
Yep.
You know, you think about the schools that offer water polo.
Yep.
There are no slouches, right? As far as academic, that my child would probably never get into San Diego State.
Right.
The Harvard of the West is what they call it now. But, you know, it's like you got to use it for all it's worth.
Right.
But the problem is that a lot of parents, when they start pushing, they got to start looking at what they do say, because it will lead to emotional exhaustion. It will lead to a feeling of not enough self-worth.
Right.
And it also will lead to a point where they just shut you off.
Right.
And you know what that's called? Burnout.
Yeah. Well, again, I think it's lack of conversation of what are you trying to get out of this? You know, are your expectations the same as mine? And again, the athlete's expectations should be higher than mine. I always tell my kids, I shouldn't want this more than you want this. If that is, then I need to go do my own thing. Like, I'm spending too much of my energy on you. If you're not willing to exert more energy than I am, then this is for you. This is your thing. So that's something to be aware of too. Like, how much does your kid enjoy? Like, parents are so unobservant of just like, is my kid even into what this activity that I've put them in? Sometimes it's just free daycare for them. I can send my kid out, and that's fine, you know. And again, sports will get you so far, but like, I don't think it's a wise investment in yourself to think I'm gonna make $1 million off my sport. Like, fuck, go to a good school, get a good education, and that's probably a safer, smarter route. Unless you're just gifted or passionate or whatever, but it's just, like, open up their eyes to reality. Like, there's only so far this thing goes. Like, get what you can out of it. But life is much more. But these kids, unfortunately, they've only lived about 16, 17 years. We forget that, dude. They've only been exposed to so much. We're showing them real-world stuff. We've not only had them as kids, and they now experience the parent lifestyle of just all those ups and downs and all those fucking obstacles that are in front. The real-life experiences that live outside this world of sports. Sports is just like it's almost like a snow globe of what awaits for you outside. It's just this little micro system of ups and downs and challenges and, you know, great moments. But it's like, it's just housed in this space of time for a short period. And then, boom, the glass comes off, and now welcome to the real world, dude. Hopefully this sets you up to take on some of the shit that's waiting for you.
Welcome
out here.
To adulthood.
Yeah, welcome to reality, dude. Welcome to shit where it just ain't all about winning and losing, dude. It's like there's real world consequences. You lose your job, you get a job, you get a promotion.
You lose your car, yeah. You lose your house.
There's real shit implicated, yeah, things that happen to you. So it's like, I definitely think sports prepare you for that stuff and give you a taste of it. But it's like, I always say owning a dog, I've always felt, is like owning half a kid. It's half the responsibility of owning a kid. And you might think differently as a vet. But I always felt it was the best preparation to have a kid was having a dog first, or having an animal first, because it gave me a taste of that responsibility.
Dependency.
And stuff.
It gives you a taste of dependency.
Yeah, dependency, responsibility, and caring for something else. And I think sports are, it's the same way for life. Sports prepare you for what's coming, dude. It's a taste, not a full taste, but those ups and downs, those heartaches, those crying in the locker room, guess what? You're going to do that shit at work later on, you know, and even harder when you're like, I got 3 kids to feed, dude.
So do you think any of your past sports achievements ever set your kids back or give them like a block thinking, man, I really got to achieve what you know, dad did, or else he won't care, or
I've
won't be proud of me.
I've only used it once. My son called me out. My son's a little shit sometimes. Yeah, I love my kids. But he plays hoops, and that's, you know, high school sports are just so – I feel bad. What I loved about wrestling was if I beat you, you don't get my job. There's no coach involvement playing favorites. That's what I loved about wrestling. I played baseball. I played all the sports.
That's what I loved about swimming. This is my time. No. There's no qualitative, like, this is what I see in that person. And everyone in the stands is like, you see what in that person? You know, at least with track or with – swimming, and also, well, gymnastics is still subjective.
Yeah, you got judges.
Because you have judges. Mm-hmm. Same with diving.
Yeah.
But anything that puts a freaking time up there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my time.
That's it. And that's what I love. I like I said, I trained all sports. I played baseball as an all-star lots of times. I always seem to have
that's
the
subjective.
I always had the coach of the all-star team always seemed to be his son always played my position. So I always spend time with him for that shit. And I was like, I'm done with this. I just want to just earn my spot and make someone have to take it from me. And when I discovered wrestling, I was like, this is it. This is the fairest sport because you want to challenge me for my spot? I can't stop you from doing that. But you have to beat me to get it. And that's what I like about it. I just there's only a few sports that allow for that, and usually those individual sports like golf or
golf. Wrestling. Here's my score.
Yeah, my score. Beat that score. Track. Beat me across the line. So
tennis.
Yeah. So stuff like that where you can kind of individually prove your worth. That's where I gravitated towards. But I think that's hard for kids to go that route. I think it's easier to play with a team where you can kind of sometimes hide some of your shortcomings. Or blame some of your shortcomings on a teammate or something else. Lose as a team, win as a team. But there was something cool in just taking responsibility for the outcome on yourself and just facing your fears. One person goes out, you face one opponent, and we'll see what happens.
So did you come out of the womb with that winner's mentality? Or when did you get that fire that's like, you know what? Damn it. I'm going to be the best one. Come and take my fucking job.
You know, I'm a younger brother, so there's probably some younger siblings.
The competition.
So always, and my brother did kind of introduce me to wrestling, and I was always getting my fucking face just thrown in the carpet, forearm, just beat up by my brother with new moves. So I'm sure that has something to do with it. Always trying to either get to my brother's, older brother's level or exceed his accomplishments. And he also dabbled in football. And brother was also a good athlete, big power lifter and stuff. But I focused as soon as I got that wrestling bug, and I fell in love with it. And it's all I wanted to do. And initially got better than him and kind of exceeded what he was able to accomplish in it. But he was still a good wrestler. But I think that might have been part of it.
Was he proud of you or was he jealous?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Super. He came to my matches, fucking massaged my shoulder before I went out. He was cool. We've been tight like that forever. And you'd have to ask him if he was like, well, you wish you would have trained a lot. But I think his life path, he knows what he did. He played in varsity football games I never played in. So it's like you get what you get. You get what you work for.
Is your wife as competitive as you?
My wife, she played golf in high school, which is funny because if you know her, you'd be like, she played golf? But she doesn't like to take no for an answer.
She's competitive.
It's weird. You wouldn't think she is, and I don't think she'd admit to being, but now that I think about it, she very much is because she loves proving people wrong. That, like, you think this can be done? I'm going to find a way to get this done. Like, she will find a way to get shit done, which, again, maybe the sports helped her with some of that, but that's the real life stuff, a carryover from sports, too. Is like, sometimes you're born with that mentality, and sometimes sports grooms that mentality in you. And I think my competitive spirit, my belief in myself that I can accomplish things that I put my mind towards was definitely like fostered by my experience in wrestling.
Do you think leaders are born or leaders are trained?
That's a good question. I was team captain on my wrestling team at like my sophomore, junior year, but I was like leading like prayers in the fucking in our little huddle up before matches and stuff. Like I was doing, like looking back, I didn't think of it then, but looking back, I was like, man, I was kind of like the leader of men a little bit. I just think it's contagious. I want you to feel what I feel, like fucking Braveheart, and his face is painted up and he's like, that's who I aspire to be, or those are the people I aspire to be around. Like a dude that's like, I know we're outnumbered, I know we're fucked, but I think if we work together, we can fucking take these hits out. Like, that's the moments, and that's the situation I want to be in, and those are the people I want to be around.
So what's the one thing about U Sports right now that drives you absolutely bonkers?
Number one, I think that's a lot, dude, because
Let's break them all down.
Well,
I'm here.
I'll tell you straight up. Growing up, I was blessed by coaches. I had Olympic-level coaches. I had coaches for wrestling when I was coming up. They were one coach, the Greco-Roman Olympic team. Another one was on the freestyle Olympic team that got boycotted. Poor guy. Didn't even get to go to the Olympics because they freaking his name's John Azevedo. I don't know if that matters. Same actual name. Great coach. But he made the Olympic team, and then U.S. boycotted. So you think, imagine that, making the Olympic team, and then all of a sudden you're like, you're not going to
the show. The entire 80 Olympic team.
Brutal. But anyways, these are the people coaching me, and they were great individuals. I was so naive. I thought everyone got that level of coaching. From my own experience, I came out going, everyone gets a great coach when you get a coach. Now looking at my high school, looking at my kids, and again, they've had some great coaches. I'm not calling out names. I'm knocking on. But from U Sports up, I've seen a real decline, it seems like, in quality coaching. And I don't know if it's just lack of funds, lack of time. Things have gotten harder on people to dedicate their time to this. I really think it's a very critical piece missing from society.
I don't think it's a lack of funds, because if you look up any...
Put it this way.
Any club is a nonprofit. They're set up as nonprofits, and you can see what all these coaches are being paid.
Well, let me tell you straight up. I would if you asked me, John, if you could do one thing right now, money's not an object. You would do one. I would coach youth wrestling. I really would. In fact, I called the high school, and I was trying to look. There's just no financial way I can coach, do that job. To do it right, you got to do a year-round program too. I think you got to start a club program that feeds into the high school thing, and it's got to be a year-round thing. You got to just keep building the program.
Does the high school not want to make money off the club?
I don't know. Maybe I haven't investigated enough, but I would say that seems to be financially just being able to like pay actual quality coaches that do great jobs and build programs. I just see the lack of interest in that. I feel like high schools, from what I've observed and investigated, is like they want you to work 2 months, 3 months out of the year, and then they're done with you, and then come back next year, and you know, it will sprinkle you, give you $5,000 or whatever. Who's going to do that? That's why you got these 20-something-year-old coaches coaching sports, and the kids aren't developing, and they're kind of back-talking their coaches because the coaches aren't much older than they are. It's just like, I don't know. I don't think your best people are, as a whole, now, guaranteed, there are a ton of great individual examples out there. But from my experience, I think the majority of coaching is lacking and under experience to be doing what they should. I don't think we realize as a society the importance these people play in our children's lives. And I just think it's just getting underfunded and just.
Yeah, see, I was blessed too. Growing up in South Florida as a swimmer, I had elite coaching.
Yeah.
Continuously.
Yeah.
I trained with Olympians. I trained with the world record holder in the 200 backstroke and Aaron Pearsall, Newport Harbor alum. Broke his world record. Martin Zubero is his name. Martin Zubero's brother, David, was one of my coaches. Ralph Crocker, rest in peace, he passed away. But he was also one of my coaches. He was so far ahead of the times, especially when it came to the mental piece and the goal setting, like you said.
Right.
He made us, you know, the mental training that we went through, whether it be finding mindfulness, whether it be seeing the race before we swam it, like we even would know how many strokes it would take us to swim each lap before we did a flip turn.
How much did that benefit you later on in life, that mentality?
I have 2 gold medals from the Florida Swimming Championship.
But I'm saying it's just in business. That mentality, that business of I can do anything if I put my mind to it. That's what I'm saying is like people don't realize those lessons in the pool translate into later on in life. And I think that's what we're missing as a whole is like, whoa, this is a real service, and mentorship that and life preparation these coaches are giving our children. And it's getting completely devalued, right. You know?
And then my coach in college, Dave Allen, he also just recently passed. God bless him, too. He was like my second dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have that type of leadership where you actually truly have people that talk to you, believe in you, discuss what you're doing wrong. I read a great article 2 days ago, and it comes to psychological safety, which is basically, you know, toxic workplaces, right?
Right.
And as a leader, there's a difference between nice and being kind. Being nice is that you say whatever you want to make the other person feel good because you're trying to avoid crucial conversations.
Right.
Being kind is you tell them with empathy what they're doing wrong and give them feedback on how to get better.
Right.
I think a lot of these coaches are either trying to be nice or they're doing nothing.
Yeah.
There's none of them trying to be kind.
Right.
And all these coaches can walk around thinking they're the greatest things since sliced bread. But I can truly tell you, especially with my oldest daughter, there are very few coaches who I would call elite.
Right.
And we're in Southern California where we have some phenomenal female soccer players.
Right.
My daughter played with Trinity Rodman since she was 4 years old.
Right.
Right? Come on. Like, that being said, there was one coach that almost made her fucking quit after her ninth grade because he just cut her because there was this other dad who played for the Ducks and her daughter played the same position. Guess what? That girl quit a year later and my daughter went on to play D1 soccer.
Right. Well, it just makes me think.
There was no feedback either. I got a three-worded email. Sorry. Find a new team. That was the email I got for my daughter.
Well, I honestly think, I think coach.
He didn't even have the fucking balls to tell him, call her and say, listen, I'm going to have to let you go. This is why, this is what you should work on. None of that.
No.
These coaches are fucking pussies. They're fucking pussies.
No, I think they
don't have the balls to fucking step up to the plate and be like, listen, this is what you need to work on.
I think this goes back to what we were talking about with parents about the athlete being reflective of them. I've volunteered 2 years, no pay at the high school, my local high school. My son wasn't even on the team. I just knew they needed the need. I gave 2 years of my, I'm in two yearbooks. I shouldn't even be in team photos. Again, no dime, no money, no anything. Came like three days a week, went to tournaments, didn't get paid a dime. But it was all about just passing on what was passed to me, you know? And it's like, but I see, to your point, I see so many coaches now. I always thought, like, I always judge coaches by not how good your best player is, but how good your worst player is, you know? And I feel like coaches get dumped these days, a set of players, and they go, those five are good. Let's focus on them. And the back, you know, they can participate, but let's just, I know what I know. And
chances are those back could go to any other high school, any other club and start.
I'll tell you, as a coach myself, I took the most pride out of who was the worst person I could elevate, you know? Not was who was that star that's going to make me look good? It's who can I dig out of the ditches and go, dude, I see the potential you have. And this goes back to, are you coaching a team or are you coaching an individual? And I love to coach at an individual basis. And I would study the room. I'm very observant. I used to play poker, sometimes good, sometimes bad. But you study, it's like being at a poker table. You play everyone different. And it's just like coaching. You don't play each person the same way. Everyone's got their strengths and weaknesses. Everyone's got those little things you can say that's either going to inspire them or break them. And you got to know. And if you're paying attention, and if you're paying less attention to yourself and more attention to them, you can figure those things out. But I mean, we live in those days. I mean, NFL coaches get cut in a year, dude. Like, it's got to be instant results.
College coaches,
you know?
Too.
You know, yeah, all these coaches. So I don't know if that's part of it as well. But you need instant results, and I feel like you need a little patience. You need a little time. You need a little culture. You need to build that.
But
you know?
We don't do that anymore,
dude.
We
don't. It's everything's instantaneous.
How pissed off do you get if Amazon doesn't get your shit to you
in
2 days?
I know. We're trained now that things should be easy. I should watch one YouTube video and master this thing. It's like, no. You got to go to the basketball court and shoot 10,000 hours, you know, before you can master this thing. I'm still trying to teach my kid that. I shoot hoops more than my son does, and he plays in high school. And I do it, but I'm like, it's an exercise for me. This is your craft. You should be getting better. You should want to get better. I always say, sharpen your weapon, dude. Every rep, your weapon gets sharper, you know? But it's like, you got to put in the time. So
does it frustrate you?
Yeah, it frustrates me. And going back to that, I just think kids get such instant gratification and think they don't understand that mindset of I have to put in the time. You get what you put in, you know? It's money in the bank, dude. I mean, how many times? I said so many of those cliche things to them, but I keep saying them because they're true. You know, it's like I'm trying to be cliff notes for you. I'm trying to give you a digestible lesson you can understand and hopefully gets through to you. And you just, fuck, it just takes time.
Every parent's prayer is that one of them sticks.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like figuring out Which one is it?
But you got to be a parent that's willing to try all those things, too. There's parents that quit after the third thing, and it's like, fuck, nothing's getting through to them. It's like, what if the fourth thing did? What if the fifth thing did? You know, it's like...
what if the 647th thing did?
Or what if we're just doing the wrong thing? But as a parent, you got to put in the time, too. That's why we were just talking about this. I told my son, because, you know, like we were just talking about, you give feedback to him, and it just goes in one ear, out the other. I've told my kids so many times, your coach is out there watching all you play. When I'm in the stands, I'm watching you, dude. I'm watching you. So if I tell you something I'm seeing, and your coach isn't saying it, it's because he ain't watching you the full time. And every parent probably is doing that, watching your own kid full time.
Filming your kid.
Filming, just breaking things down. So it's like, kids need to buy into that, I always try and stress that with them. It's like, I'm watching every single move out there, dude.
I'm going to use that line next.
No, it's great. I try and say things that are hard to argue against with my kids, too. I remember that was my big lesson as a parent when my kids were young. I saw so many parents just say no, and they just take something away, or no, don't do that. I realized I got better outcome from my kids, the better chance they would stop doing that action if I took a second to explain why I'm saying no to them. No, because when you do that, it makes your sister cry. Or when you do this, it hurts our feelings. Or when you do this, this becomes a mess. And da 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 da. And I felt like it was just a weird observancy, but I realized, opened up my eyes that if I can explain to you why I'm saying no to you, there's a better chance you're not going to do that again. So I think that's important as well.
Another thing with coaches is I don't think coaches have enough required training. Like,
well, again, you pay for, dude. You get what you pay for.
But I think the state federation, if you're going to coach high school sports, there must be a certain amount of continuing education you must take in order to become that way. And the reason I'm going for this is because, number one, I'm talking about burnout. Number two, I'm talking about following the why.
Yeah.
And number three is what you just said. Isn't it easier to beat another team if you have a deep bench of all great players that you've developed versus your top five?
Bro, as soon as you said that, I thought of Oklahoma City Thunder. We're all in the playoffs now in basketball. I always felt the best team, every person's a weapon. Everyone's a threat. If you watch Oklahoma City Thunder play and you wonder why they're so dominant, every single person on their team can score points, dude. It's not like we're running the offense with these two people. Guess what? If those two people take a shit, guess what? Your team's screwed. But if everyone else can pick it up. So that's what I'm saying. That's my philosophy as coaching. I want, if water polo, for example, you get six offensive players out there. I want each one of you to be a threat. I don't want someone to get in double covered. You know, I want them to have to cover everybody. So, that's just, again, been my life observancy is like when everyone's, but that's just smart coaching. That's just,
but
everyone
then,
should
but
be.
But then a, these, the problem is if, let's say you do have those three or four players or six that are out there, whatever sport.
Yeah.
If those players are not executing.
Yeah.
Next one up. Yeah. See if they can execute.
I've been wanting to make a t-shirt forever that just says, earn your minutes in like alarm clock font.
Do the work.
No, earn your minutes. I'm a believer in earn your minutes. Earn the right to be in that spot, right?
Be the and player that not, they can't
you
know take what? Out.
You got, water polo, for example, we're a very successful program. You got girls grabbing the wall, waiting, like a dog waiting to get the leash taken off of them to go run the dog. They're eager to get out there. And to think that these... I mean, you got a team of, let's say we have a team of 12 people, and you're like, it's arrogance to go, these six people are going to be my most consistent people every game we play that show up and play the best. And these six.
Especially on a teenage child.
It's ignorant, especially on a high school level or a teenager, whatever, a youth level, to think. I mean, these kids are still learning how to prepare for the moment, dude. So if you're telling me, I mean, good on you if you have that team, but I have yet to see that team where it's consistently the same set of people that start, and I see that in youth basketball. I mean, my kids play basketball, water polo, but I always see that consistently on that. It's like coaches lean into these certain kind of favored players. You're wishing the best, but I personally think chemistry is a huge thing in sports. Chemistry is huge. You look at European basketball, why it can even like compete against USA basketball, because these guys have been playing together for a long time. They build this chemistry. They know these ins and outs, and I think we live in a society today where you kind of just use the size chart. Like, that person's taller, or that person's more muscular, or this person's faster, this and that. So that's my thing. And it's like, especially with team sport now with wrestling, maybe individual sport, that might work. But I think when you start assembling this puzzle of players, sometimes a certain piece that you might not think actually fits better with this piece than a piece that looked more attractive at first, you know? So, again, a great coach can identify, what are my working pieces? Greg Popovich, the coach, you know, for the Spurs for so long, retired now. I always thought he was one of my favorite coaches because it's just like whatever group of guys he got. Now, granted, he had Tim Duncan and the Admiral, but like other pieces he'd get, you know, Ginobili, whatever. I just felt like he, no matter what he was given, he could find the right piece. What was that famous quote by
Phil Jackson?
Is that the guy? But he said, "I can take your players and you can have my players and I'll beat your team with your players." Like, I just love that attitude of just like, I can see the potential in the right pieces and put that together. And to me, that's, especially in team sports, that's huge. And that gets completely overlooked.
So you think youth coaches are too worried about winning over resilience?
I think coaches these days, from what I've observed, are padding their own resume instead of the resume of their athletes. I feel like how good, but maybe that's job security. Maybe that, again, goes back to what we're talking about, job security. The more I win, the more secure I am in my position. But I, from my own experience, if that's why you're doing it, you're missing out on the real reason to coach. I mean, I can tell you stories. I remember teaching a heavyweight wrestler, had no business winning league, but I saw a move he could possibly do, taught him a move. And I was, this is the year out of high school for me. I was coaching with like my high school coaches who, if I saw today, I would run over and give him a giant hug. Their coach on the side with this kid, I'd spent a week with this guy, showing him the single move. He's a heavyweight, so, you know, it's real simple offense for heavyweights. But showing him stuff I thought would work. Ends up winning league. He comes off the mat. These are his coaches been coaching him this whole thing. He runs over to me, bear hugs me, picks me up. I still remember that moment. Another moment, same thing. Taught another kid another move. Ended up, it's the move when you're in trouble, and he ended up getting out, pinned this kid with this thing I taught him. Right in front of his parents, you got a camera. I still remember the moment, too. And parents are right there videoing it. He got probably the best highlight of his life. Comes off the thing, says, "I did that with the movie you taught me." That, like I said, I never took a dime from that place. That's worth more to me than anything I've ever, like, monetary value. There's no monetary value on that. Knowing that I've given a guy a life experience based on something I knew that he would have not known otherwise. Like, that is fucking why you do this. Why you coach. I'm telling you right now, that's why you coach.
Why do you think it is that coaches fear conversations with their star athletes or even their parents? Do you think it's ego?
Do you think it's star athletes? Or I think it's easier to talk to star athletes than it is to talk to the athletes you're not playing. I think that's the problem. I think having
why do you think they don't talk to their athletes they're not playing? Why don't coaches ever give good feedback anymore? Because you and I said we got the feedback.
They just don't want to put in the time to do it the right way, and they just want easy results, which I think we're in that kind of time where everyone wants easy results. Not earning that connection to an athlete to talk that freely with them, you know, like, there's got to be moments where you humble yourself, where you show even some weaknesses in yourself to allow them, hey, that person's human, you know? The coach is human. Coach isn't just coach. So you need to open yourself up. You need to be transparent. You need to be approachable. You know, I just think there's so many coaches not approachable to have that conversation in the first place, which is unfortunate.
Is that ego?
Yeah. I mean, again, going back to my dad, old school styles, like, I remember my dad told me once, we will never be friends. I'll be your dad and you'll be my son. And I thought, that just sucks. You know, but it kind of makes sense, I guess, because he didn't want me to disrespect him in any way. But I remember that kind of hitting me hard, going, dude, we're not going to be friends? That's weird. You're my dad.
Well, I see a lot of youth coaches that have absolutely zero problem berating an athlete, but they have
way more slaps than pets.
Right.
And that's a problem. That's a problem, you know, like, I always say, pet your dogs once in a while, dude. Like, let them know it's done something good. I don't know. That to me, that's what sports is all about. Like, overcoming
youth sports.
Yeah, dude.
It's about developing talented scholar athletes to become something in the future.
Yep.
You would think, as a coach, like you said, and you still remember those wrestlers coming running off the mat, giving you a bear hug. You'll never forget that.
No.
You would think the greatest thing ever would be to mentor somebody, and they come back and thank you in the future. When I retired as a veterinarian, there were 20, previous employees I helped mentor into vet school.
Right.
My day of my retirement, they either showed up at the office or they called me to say thank you.
Right.
And what a difference I made in their lives.
That's right.
Why do you believe that? Is that, are we just from a different cloth, or is that society today? Like, I mean,
bro, that's a big thing. I mean, that's a big can you're opening, because it's like, I don't know. I think a lot of the society is becoming more and more introverted. I think expressing our true feelings to each other is getting harder because we're so behind screens now and stuff. So, like, I don't know. I like the youth of today. I feel. Which isn't a good thing for when they grow up, but like I feel are more like self-centered and self-gratifying and not much like empathetic to like, hey, what can I do to share this positivity and expand on this? So I don't know. If I look at it that way, it does get me scared for the future, and maybe that's why I feel like youth coaching is kind of dwindling in terms of quality, because I mean, I don't know, we're just getting more self-reflective and self-interested in ourselves. But to me, it was always about sharing the knowledge that was passed on to me, passing of the torch, you know, and it's a selfless thing, but it's like, again, I mean, parents and coaches suffer from, this is a reflection of me. I coached an NJB team, little youth basketball team. We won one game, but every player on my team scored at least one basket that year. And I told all the parents going in, I ain't trying to win the championship, dude. I just want to make sure that kid gets his fair shot at this that our studs do, dude. Like, and I still remember. I don't remember many baskets, but I remember when the worst player on our team made his basket. I was like, "Fuck, mission accomplished. I'm done. I did my job." You know, I made sure that kid had his moment too. You know,
when I was youth soccer coaching, yeah. I actually loved the game so much I picked up my national coaching license. But I would talk to the parents. Before season,
yeah,
and I said, Stanford and UCLA are not going to be in the stands.
Right.
Just have fun.
Totally. No, I said the same thing to my son. High school games. I said, my son played on JV this year. I said, you ever look in the stands and see who's there? What you're getting all freaked out about? I said, there's like moms and dads. They're not even watching you right now. Just go have fun, dude.
They're
like,
on their phones.
You're acting like you're on an NBA level. You know, we're on ESPN tonight. Like, dude, look in the stands. There's no one taking this here. Just go have fun. Show what you've worked at and show what you're capable of. That's all I want. That's all I tell
my kids. Don't waste my time.
Bro, that's what I tell my kids all the time, though. It's like, I'm not expecting you to hit the winning shot every time. But I know what you're capable of. At least show up. At least let that show up and show people what you've been working for. Otherwise, you're doing yourself a disservice. I don't know why you're out here. I always tell my kids too, and the kids I've coached, I said, everyone goes to practice. Not every kid practices on their own. And it's been my observancy, and again, through my own wrestling, I went to morning practices that no one showed up to. I went to night practices that no one. Dan Henderson, Randy Couture, UFC wrestlers, they were training for the Olympics. This guy who coached us, Bob Anderson, was their coach. He had me and my partner was the state champ of California. Said, you two guys stay after, and I want you to train. I trained with Dan Henderson and Randy Couture. I was their throwing dummy, dude. But it was like, I was only invited to that because I put in the extra work. But that's what I'm telling kids is like, every kid goes to practice, but only a certain few practice on their own. And that's where, to me, where the real separation comes. How much extra time? I tell them, it's almost like cheating. Imagine if they let everyone practice this amount of time and then locked every kid up, but let this other kid go practice a little more. Guess if they treated it that way, guess how many more kids would practice if they thought of it like cheating, like, oh, I'm getting an unfair advantage. But that's what you're doing when you're putting in that extra work. And that's really what I try. And that's life, though. That's life.
It's like getting the questions to the answers to the test before you take it.
Yes, dude. Right? Yeah, just going through the motions. You're that much more prepared, dude. And it's like, it's stuff like that I just, that's one thing right there. Everyone goes to practice, not because. I feel like coaches, too, are like, hey, if you just come to my practice, I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. And the reality is, no, it's not true. I'm going to teach you wrestling, I used to say, I'm going to teach you how to do a double leg right. But after that, once I know you can do it right, you're on your own. Now it's drill that 1,000 times on your own when I'm not watching, you know? So it's like, same thing. Which kid is willing to do that? And I think that goes back to finding what your kids are passionate about. You got to find what thing they're willing to devote that time to and that energy into. It ain't easy. It ain't easy when you know your buddies are playing Fortnite or whatever, and you're like, I probably need to get to the court and shoot a little bit right now. You know?
There
aren't many kids willing to do that.
But in order to get to the next level, kids have to understand there have to be sacrifices.
Oh, yeah. Ask Cooper Flagg, dude. Ask him what got him to be so good, dude.
Yeah, but he was in Maine. Seriously.
I didn't want to do. Hey, half my family lives in Oklahoma, dude. There you go.
But when you're sitting here, you tell these kids, there's one thing I say to my kids all the time, and they hate it because I've used it so much. Hard work beats talent.
Yeah.
When talent don't work hard.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
So you could be
eventually. Yeah, exactly. It takes time.
It does.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you see it in youth sports all the time. You know, you have that 11-year-old kid who's, you know, a girl who's 5'8", yeah. You know, looks like a woman.
Yeah.
She's only going to go so far.
Yeah.
The rest of those little ones are going to pass her.
Yeah.
But it takes time.
Yeah.
And it takes work. It's not going to just come to you. Nothing comes gift wrapped to you like, oh, you know, you're just a nice person. You got to work hard. You got to dedicate. And you also have to make sure that you're willing to make a couple sacrifices.
Mm.
So at what point, though, as a parent, do you look at youth sports and say, you know what? At some point, they still need to be a kid.
Yeah.
How much sacrifice is too much?
I think you see when they start missing out on just like normal kid experiences. I mean, when they just seem, I mean, again, you have to be observant. I think the best quality or one of the top qualities a parent can have is just being observant, not dictating or over like explaining. Like, be quiet once in a while. Just look at know your audience. Like, take status of your audience, what they're up to. What, you know, fuck, my kid looks depressed. There's so many parents that are just so unobservant of the state their kids are in, you know? Fucking have a conversation with them, you know? I force my kids, I'm like, let's go for a dog walk. And it's so weird. If I can break them away from the phone, I have some of the best conversations on a 30-minute walk with the dog because they're forced to just, and all of a sudden, they just start talking. So I think you need to be observant. It's a job, dude. Like, you want to raise, it's like growing a plant, dude, but way more complicated. But you can't just plant a plant in the ground and walk away and think it's going to be this beautiful thing. I know from some plants I've tried to grow. But I think, you know, it's like it takes water, it takes sunlight, it takes, you know, a lot of things.
A little fertilizer, you know. I mean,
yeah.
It takes nurturing.
Yeah.
You got to talk to it.
Well, the same shit you're telling your kids, you get out what you put in, is the same advice you need to be giving yourself. I'm going to get out what I put in. His victories, I'll be able to share in that if I – and the more I got, I mean,
but you got to remember, you can share in it, but it's still his.
It's his. No, it's for sure his. Like, there's nothing more. Every time he does something great, I'm like, and I'll usually get parents be like, what the hell happened? What got into your son? What got into your son? I'm like, it's not surprising to me. I just want him to show it to you. I've seen my son and I have played. We played at this park near our house. I guarantee you, him and I have played more times on the court than anyone that lives around us. I probably played more than he has. But it's just this beautiful – I always say there's a heaven on earth. The two heavens on earth are on that court and body surfing out front with my kids. Sorry, phone's blown up. But
– is it the kid?
No, it's Bam, of course, dude. I don't know. Like, I've lost jobs to spend more time with my kids just to be there for them because that's where my joy comes from. And that's what concerns me
that's
more.
That's where
about
your fulfillment comes
Well, that's
from.
What concerns me more about anything is I feel like you talk about time being, you know, one of the greatest things. Like, there's only so much time we get together. I've told my son that finally. I heard somewhere where you raise your kids to be about 18, and then after, then they live every day of their life with you. And then after that, there's only like 365 days. Look this shit up. But there's only like a year full of days that they're actually in your space after that. Like, that's gnarly. Like, that's like growing an arm and then cutting off that arm and then just going, whoa, where's that arm? You know, it's just weird. It's just – so I'm trying to really enjoy and be in the moment with them as I have them. I think the older I get, the more I realize that our time is limited. We're all under the same roof and doing the same things. And so I don't know. I think an appreciation – for where you're at with these people in your life. But, and again, I think identifying that my kids, when a parent can detach themselves as from their child and be like, you're a person on your own journey, dude. Like, I'm not your, I can't, I'm your dad and I'll always be your dad, but you're your own person. You're on your own journey. I'm going to die on my own timeline. You're going to die on your own time. You're born, you know, it's like, you're walking your own path, dude. We're not on this together forever. You know, so it's like my job is to prepare you for the rest of that walk without me, but I'm still figuring out shit on my own path, dude. So if you got any advice, can go both ways too. I've had my son tell me shit. I've had my son tell me at a young age I should fire my job when I was like, I think I'm losing, I think my job's kind of, I hate my job. And my son looked at me one day, he was way young, and he's like, Dad, you need to fire your job. And I was like, I've never thought of a job that way. I've always been in fear of losing my job. I never thought of, I'm better than this place, you know? So
you bring up a good point, though. Do you think fear of failure is more ingrained in us than it is our children? And to fail is okay.
Well, I think there's more at stake if we fail than if they fail. I think you fail, you say that you have a job, you lose your job. So it depends on what kind of failure you're talking about. But yeah, and career-wise, I got to feed, you know, I'm responsible as a dad and my wife to feed our children, to clothe our children, to put a roof over our heads. So yeah, fucking the results are way higher, and you know, stakes are way higher for me than for my son. Sorry, you didn't make your fucking varsity team. You're on JV. Guess what? You got a little, many more headaches coming and heartaches coming down the road.
Yeah,
that's
first world problems,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, dude. Like I, so you got to put everything in context.
It's like getting
But you got to be sympathetic too. They only know so much. They haven't been exposed to real. You got to remind that too. They haven't. You've walked in their shoes. They haven't walked in your shoes yet, dude. So that's something to keep in mind too. Like this might not hurt us as much as it hurts them, but it's only because they haven't seen how much harder things can get.
So let me ask you a question, and I'm going to get personal here.
Yeah, for sure.
Your daughter, love her to death.
Yeah,
amazing girl.
Yeah.
Great water polo player.
Yeah.
Did she play in college?
No.
Why?
I mean, there's a lot of factors there. There's a lot. I mean, again, I wrestled 1 year out of. I loved wrestling. Loved wrestling in high
school. Did she love water polo?
I think she did at first. I think the politics of water polo kind of broke her down a little bit. And I think just, I don't know. She kind of screwed up too. I think there's a lot of things that played a part. But I think the lack of support and the lack of joy in it that just started to kind of filter out, I think just turned her off of it. And honestly, my daughter's pretty mature. And I think she got to a point where it's like, I know there's more to life than water polo, you know? And I think, but I can't blame kids for feeling that water polo is life because, again, I wrestled. And it was really hard for me to walk away from that sport because I knew how much I had put into that sport. Like, I have nothing but all my high school friends when I was in high school outside of wrestling were water polo players because I felt like we had this bond that no one really knew how hard our sports were outside of our sports. And we had this mutual respect for each other. So it's hard when you give that much to finally walk away from something you've invested so much into, but I think she realized there's more to me than this, which I think all kind of athletes get to, regardless if it's NBA or, you know, high school level. I think people like, you know, Kevin Durant, for example, that guy's a businessman, dude. That guy's spread out. Like you start realizing there's more. LeBron James, like there's more life. Like they
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, they're looking into the future finally. But when you're in it, you're just looking at that moment, and everything you've put into is in that moment. And it's hard to step back and go, well, there's more waiting for me out there. But I think my daughter was able to see that, and it made it a little easier for her to walk away from it. But it was hard, man. I think she kind of got screwed a little bit. It was tough.
Do you play in coaching?
For sure. I think the number one job of coaching should make, you know, inspire all your athletes, you know, and have the backs of all your athletes and elevate them all, you know. It's just like, it's a tough sport, though. And again, I see it more and more in new sports where coaches are padding their resume instead of the resume of their athletes. And I feel like if you're doing it for that reason, you're doing it for the wrong reason. But if you do it for the right reason, I think it'll actually have the effect you want, you know? Like, I've never seen a team where everyone got great and they lost games. Like, it's just, like, having done it myself, I don't think it's as complicated as people make it, but you have to remove your ego from the situation and go, why am I? We were talking earlier about politicians. Like, politicians are servants of the people, but we forget that. They're here to serve us. And I think coaches.
They used to be,
but we let that go. And same with coaches. Coaches would come, I'm here to serve these athletes, dude, from my very best athlete to my very worst athlete. And to be honest, that's how I judge coaches personally today, is how good is your worst athlete? It's very easy to have a person who's just a naturally born, meant to do this sport. There's always one of those, and there's usually a couple of them. But, man, you got a responsibility to all of them, especially at high school. We're developing young adults into you know, growing into and advancing and being a positive contributors to society, you know? Like, if you're jacking up with their minds and their mentality on things, like, you're not helping any of us, you know, in the long run. Dude, we're preparing you for life. That's what, you know, that's what we're talking about with sports here. It's like, sports is just a snippet of what the real world's waiting for you out there. And if you're not properly prepared, you're going to struggle out there, too.
So do you believe that the coaches did not see the signs of your daughter burning out?
I think they...
Or they didn't
to
care.
To be honest, I think they ignored... This is what I'm saying, is I think they ignored the ones that they didn't feel can contribute to what they are trying to accomplish.
But they expected them to still show up. They expected them to still
train. Did all the
they still expected your check.
Bro, I'll tell you straight up, I've gone to every... Just about... There's a couple more I still need to get to. But every athlete that's gone through our system... A senior on their senior year, I've made it a point to go. I've talked to, I'll tell you later. But when I see them, I make sure they hear from me. I say, I don't care if you started or if you sat the bench on every game. If you made it through this program, because I know how mentally and physically it was to make it through, I've told them to their face individually. I said, I will always respect you. If you see me 20 years from now, I will respect you for having done this. So, and I don't think they ever heard that from anyone, you know. And it's like, but I see you. Some people may not see you, but I see what you've done, and it will not go unseen. And I get choked up talking about it because it's like, it's real. It's like they did just as much shit as the people that got the attention. It was harder for them to stay in and involved I probably because I went through wrestling myself, I know how hard some of these things are, these life challenges are. But they all deserve respect and they all deserve attention. And I think that's where we're falling short in youth sports, is not recognizing I coach a team, not a couple of players.
Okay, last question for you. Last question. What would you say to a parent right now that believes what they're on in a situation where the coach cares about padding his or her resume versus padding the athlete's resume? What if you believe that their kid is in that situation? What advice can you give those parents?
I mean, it's a sad thing. I encouraged my daughter to go talk to her coach straight up, but I didn't feel like the coaches made an environment where they felt approachable. So it was like...
Your daughter did try to talk to your coach.
No, she did, but she spoke. She stood up to them, I would say, but by then it was already too late. I would try to develop that communication. I mean, you're going to get... I've had more bad bosses in my career than I've had good bosses, but I still have to deal with them, you know? So it's like, again, going back to...
So how did you deal with them?
Individually, you can't talk to everyone. I mean, I think that's what all these experiences have taught me, is like, I mean, I don't talk to you. I talk to you differently than I talk. Slight differences, but you just know, like, this person reacts to this in a certain way. So maybe that's a life skill. I don't know.
And that's a life skill that coaches are missing.
Yes.
And that's called? That's called emotional intelligence.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's just connecting at the individual level. I really do. It's like, but it pained me to see someone struggle. And maybe that's just, I don't know what that is, but it's just like how someone doesn't have that naturally in them, especially at the coaching level, to go, bro, there's no way I'm going to let that person just cry in the corner, you know? Like, let's do something about that. So I don't know. I want coaches to be in it for the right reason, but back to your question, I would say, you know, encourage your kids. That's part of growing up, dude, is facing your fears, you know, and your coaches, if it's on the wrong side of coaching, that's a big fear, having this strong individual that controls so much of your present, you know, life outcomes. It's hard to confront that person, but fuck, if you can break through that barrier, I think it's huge. And I really encourage parents and kids to build that confidence and that courage to face that. Because I told my daughter, that was the biggest thing I think we told her towards the end of her water polo career, was like, if you can face this now, it's going to make facing it what's coming easier. And you will face this same conversation later, and it's going to be harder because it's going to be your career, not your sport. So that's what I was trying to explain to her, is like, I know this is hard, but it's only going to get harder. So if you can do this now, that will get easier. So that's really what I try and tell them, is like, again, sports is just a small little sample of life, dude. But it's so...
It's a big part,
but it's such a big break because, again, if kids only live so long,
it creates a foundation.
It's a big part of life. But, like, that's the thing. Wrestling has become it was such a big part of my life, but now I'm nearing 50 and I'm looking back and it's like, it was a chapter in my book, dude, you know? And it's like, kids, the smart kids can kind of fast forward a little bit and realize that. But that's our, but if you can do that, I think it makes it easier to go, this isn't my life, but this is my moment I'm having and I need to deal with this now. Because otherwise it becomes my past that I never dealt with. And so that's why I'm always like, be in the moment. Face your fears. I'm still learning that shit too. We're all learning that shit. I mean, I'm full of plenty of fears that I still need to face. I mean, that's part of the reason I'm here, just to talk and just, you know, be open about stuff. But yeah, dude, it's a life. Sports are a great life lesson, but we all learn from it. Coaches need to set their ego aside. Kids need to put in the time that's necessary to achieve their goals. First, find a goal, then put in the time to realistically achieve it, you know? Like, oh, every kid wants to be in the NBA. How many fucking kids you know that are putting in NBA-level work to get there? Not many, dude. Not many. I've yet to see one out of all my kids' club that are really putting in that time where you're like, that kid's going to be in the NBA. Because it's hard. It's work.
Heaven forbid it's
work. It's work. But look at your – we're grinding now.
I got one last question. But do you wish when you look back – you could get a second chance?
On myself or for my kid?
Yourself.
It's funny you say that because I was actually recruited my sophomore year in high school by I don't know if we can name names, but Calvary Chapel High School at the time was winning state champions left and right. I was the one guy from my high school going to their camp, and I was beating all their guys my weight, and the coach actually told my dad, hey, it was a private school, Calvary Chapel. He's like, I want your son to come and wrestle for me. Guys I was beating went on to be two-time state champs. I placed eighth in state, but I got a medal. I was stoked, but I stuck true to my high school, and I was stoked. But those friendships, my girlfriends, all that stuff, if I transfer, I miss out on that. It's hard to tell, dude, because who knows? I know your daughter's has gone through similar stuff. So, but from my own personal experience, I have no regrets. I honestly think I could have been a state champ, which would have been sick, but what does that fucking mean right now? You know, it's like a medal. My medal's not up in my house. Dude, it's in my parents' garage somewhere, dude. Like,
I lay there at night in bed, knowing what I know now,
yeah,
saying, I wish I was fucking 19 again. I wish I could go compete at that level again. Because knowing what I know now, it would have been a whole different ball game. You know, the maturity that you have now, you could go back and do it again.
Yeah, but again, I don't think you kind of have to go through it at that level you're at, though, to like work those things. You can't, if life's easy, what are you learning from it? You know, like that's probably why you can't do that, because it's like that'd be way too easy.
One of my favorite actors of all time, Gene Hackman, said at the end of that Keanu Reeves movie, that football movie where everyone went on strike and the scabs came in and played.
Right.
And he said at the very end of the movie, and it brings tears to my eyes when I see the movie, it was like these football players lived every athlete's dream.
Yeah.
They got a second chance.
Yeah.
So with that, just remember, thank you for listening. Drop some comments, and we'd love to get back to you. This is a very hot and passionate subject for the two of us, as you can tell. And I'm sure it is for a lot of parents out there. But remember, tell your kids, life doesn't start until they get outside of their comfort zone. Push them a little bit. Make sure you read the signs of burnout. And make sure, most importantly, you're a supporter, not a chastiser. We'll talk to you later.